जय राधा माधव कुंजा बिहारी जय राधा माधव कुंजा बिहारी कुबेरन वालभा गिरिवरधारी कुबेरन वालभा गिरिवरधारी यशोदा नंदना ब्रजदान रंजना यशोदा नंदना ब्रजदान रंजना जामुना तेरा बनचारी यमुना तीरा बनचारी जयो राधा माधव कुंजा बिहारी गोपीजन वाला गिरिवरधारी यशोदा नंदना ब्रजदान रंजना यमुना तीरा बनचारी जयो राधा माधव कुंजा बिहारी जयो राधा माधव कुंजा बिहारी जय ओम विष्णु पार परमांश परिवराज के चर्य सतर सत सी सीमाति दानी के स्वामी जी बाई ग्रह से सी भक्त स्वामी शिल प्रभुपाद की ग्रंथ राज श्रीमद भागवतम की निथाय गौर प्रेमानंदी अगर से समुद्र बहुतीस अगर से समुद्र बहुतीस अगर से समुद्र बहुतीस अगर से श्री श्री गुरु अन गौरंगा शिल प्रभुपाद की जय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय Today we're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam First Canto, 14th Chapter, The Disappearance of Lord Krishna. And the text on the board, I don't know if you have a board, but it is 38. I'm just going to read it. Just now coming. Word for word meaning. Okay, first word for mert meaning. Yat. No, that's the wrong place. That's where we are. It's 37. But it's also yat, same. Yat, whose, pada, feet, shushrushana, Administration of comforts. Mukhya, the most important. Karmana, by the acts of. Satya Adayaha, queens headed by Satyabhama. Dviasta, twice eight. Sahasra, thousand. Yoshitaha, the fair sex. Nirjitya, by subduing. Sankhe, in the battle. Tridashan, of the denizens of heaven. Tat Ashishaha, what is enjoyed by the demigods. Haranti, do take away. Vajra Ayuda Vallabha, the wives of the personality who controls the thunderbolt. Who is that? Who controls the thunderbolt? Indradev, yes, correct. 2 points. Uchitaha, deserving. So we're chanting responsively. Yatpada shushrushana mukhya karmana. Yatpada shushrushana mukhya karmana. Satyadayo dvyasta sahasra yoshitaha. Satyadayo dvyasta sahasra yoshitaha. Nirjitya sankhye tridashangstad ashisho. Nirjitya sankhye tridashangstad ashisho. Haranti vajra yudavalla bojitaha. Haranti vajra yudavalla bojitaha. Bolia. Matajis, ladies. Anyone? Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Can you move the board? Simply by administering comforts at the lotus feet of the Lord, which is the most important of all services, the queens at Dwarka, headed by Satyabhama, induce the Lord to conquer the demigods. Thus the queens enjoy things which are prerogatives of the wives of the controller of thunderbolts. Purport. Satyabhama, one of the principal queens of Lord Sri Krishna at Dwarka. After killing Narakasura, Lord Krishna visited the palace of Narakasura accompanied by Satyabhama. He went to Indraloka also with Satyabhama, and she was received by Shachi Devi, who introduced her to the mother of the demigods, Aditi. Aditi was very much pleased with Satyabhama And she blessed her with the benediction of permanent youth, as long as Lord Krishna remained on the earth. Aditi also took her with her to show her the special prerogatives of the demigods in the heavenly planets. When Satyabhama saw the Parijata flower, she desired to have it in her palace at Dwarka. After that, she came back to Dwarka along with her husband and expressed her willingness to have the Parijata flower at her palace. Satyabhama's palace was especially bedecked with valuable jewels. And even in the hottest season of summer, the inside of the palace remained cool, as if air-conditioned. She decorated her palace with various flags, heralding the news of her great husband's presence there. Once, along with her husband, she met Draupadi, and she was anxious to be instructed by Draupadi in the ways and means of pleasing her husband. Draupadi was expert in the affair, in this affair, because she kept five husbands. The Pandavas and all were very much pleased with her. On receipt of Draupadi's instructions, she was very much pleased and offered her good wishes and returned to Dwarka. She was the daughter of Satrachit. After the departure of Lord Krishna, when Arjuna visited Dwarka, all the queens, including Satyabhama and Rukmini, lamented for the Lord with great feeling. At the last stage of her life, she left for the forest to undergo severe penance. Satyabhama instigated her husband to get the Parijata flower from the heavenly planets, and the Lord got it even by force from the demigods, as a common husband secures things to please his wife. As already explained, the Lord had very little to do with so many wives to carry out their orders like an ordinary man. But because the queens accepted the high quality of devotional service, namely administering the Lord all comforts, the Lord played the part of a faithful and complete husband. No earthly creature can expect to have things from the heavenly kingdom, especially the Parijata flowers, which are simply to be used by the demigods. But due to their becoming the Lord's faithful wives, all of them enjoyed the special prerogatives of the great wives of the denizens of heaven. In other words, since the Lord is the proprietor of everything within His creation, it is not very astonishing for the queens of Dwarka to have any rare thing from any part of the universe. Yat para shushrushana mukya karmana satyadayo dvyasta sahasrayoshitaha nirjitya sankhye tridashangstadashisho haranti vajrayudavallabhojitaha. Simply by administering comforts at the lotus feet of the Lord, which is the most important of all services, the queens at Dwarka, headed by Satyabhama, induced the Lord to conquer the demigods. Thus the queens enjoy things which are prerogatives of the wives of the controller of thunderbolts. Om Agyanatimarandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Jena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Gadamayam Dadhati Svapadantikam Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama Rama Rama, Rama Hare Hare Mukam karoti vachalam pangum langayate girim yat kripadamaham vande sri guru dinotaranam paramananda maravam si chaitanya ishwaram vanchakalpatarubhyascha kripasindubhyayavacha patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha. Hare Krishna. We're very happy and fortunate to be here at the lotus feet of Shishi Radha Gopinath, Lalita Visakha, Srinaji, Shishi Gornitai, Srila Prabhupada, and all the assembled Vaishnavas. Here in this section of Srimad Bhagavatam, Yudhisthir Maharaj is asking his younger brother Arjuna questions. Arjuna had been gone and he just returned. And Yudhisthira was asking him, what's happening? What is going on? And he's asking very specifically about all the different members of the Yadu dynasty. So he's showing great concern, great interest, and great feeling for all these personalities. So here he's asking about the queens of the Lord, and he's glorifying Krishna, because Krishna had married 16,100 wives, and he 16,108 to be precise, and he had a palace for each and every one of his queens in Dwarka. And not only that, he catered to their individual needs and comfort. It wasn't like he had other people look after that, but he made sure that they were nicely satisfied. One time Krishna gave a parijata flower to Rukmini. Do you know what parijata flower is? Have you had parijata flower? Some say yes. If you know, then please bring. Huh? It's not available on this planet. It's only available in Indraloka, heavenly planet. But Krishna gave one of such parijata flowers to Rukmini. When Satyabhama saw this, she was in a fury. She was fuming. Why to her? Why not to me? So Vishwanath Chakravarti Pad, he explains that that is her nature. She's very fiery. She's very bossy in that sense. So Krishna took note of that. And when they went to the heavenly planets for different activities that were explained in the purport, he got a whole tree for her. And Indra put up a fight because he could not appreciate that Krishna, he had just returned the earrings of his mother, Aditi, and he had just done so many things for Indra and the demigods. So what is one tree, right? If you have a whole farm and somebody comes and asks you for a tree, give it, okay? Especially if it's the Lord. But Indra thought, no, this is not proper. This tree only belongs here. This tree cannot go there. This tree is my tree. So he started putting up a fight. And obviously he was defeated. So the tree was brought to Dwarka and it got planted in Satyabhama's garden. And Rukmini, she did not say a word. She did not say a word. Why you give her a tree? I only got a flower. Huh? How about me? No, she said nothing. That's why later on, in order to instigate Rukmini's loving chastisement, Krishna did what he did. But we're not going to talk about that. If you want to find out about what he did, you have to read Krishna book or Bhagavatam, 10th canto. So, these are the loving exchanges between Krishna and his devotees, and they're very personal. They're very kind. They're very considerate. They're very much in tune with the nature, the personality, and the taste of the devotee. So here, Yudhisthira is glorifying Krishna's queens, and he's remembering Krishna's pastimes with his devotees. So he's asking, are they well? He's very much concerned for their well-being. Now, when we try to have relationships, I know not everybody is interested in that. I know you're not doing social media. You're not trying to have friends. You're not trying to have a social life. But if you were interested in that, okay? If you were interested in that, then this is something to take note of. Very few people like to be preached to till they actually trust you and they actually have a relationship, they actually have a rapport with you. We know many people who are very accomplished, who are famous, who are wealthy, who are austere, who are beautiful. Many of them are here in Bombay. Many of them are here in this temple. Yet we still like to hang out with our friends. Why is that? Why do you want to hang out with your friends? Even though there's so many people who are so much bigger and better and more accomplished in the world. Because with friends, they're your svajatiya. You can share your heart. You can actually have what's called a conversation. A conversation is not a monologue. It's not a download. It's not a debate. It's not preaching. It's a heart-to-heart conversation. Just like here, Yudhisthira and his brother Arjuna, they're having a heart-to-heart conversation. Why? There's a big crisis. What is the crisis? I'm asking, what is the crisis? Huh? Have you ever wondered? A phone goes off and a grown-up man gets up and walks out. How did we ever let these little things gain so much power and control over our lives? Enjoy the offline experience. Give yourself a vacation. At least a good amount of time. So, what was the question? Huh? We want friendships. We want people we can share our hearts with. We want people who actually listen to us. That's what's happening between Yudhisthira and Arjuna. Because they have a common interest. What is that? Krishna. And everything related to Krishna. And they are sharing their hearts about that topic. Huh? So, these are important points. Otherwise, we will be very good with maybe machines, with maybe our job, with maybe our virtual reality, but will not be so good in relationships. Huh? So, when Srila Prabhupada was in New York in the mid-70s, the devotees had acquired a big skyscraper building in Manhattan. And the current temple president was Adi Keshava. So he went to 26 Second Avenue, which was a storefront, which was where Prabhupada started, in order to purchase it. Because it's a historic place. It's the first temple in ISKCON. It's where everything started. Some of you may have been there. Some of you have heard about it. Some of you have seen pictures. So Adi Keshava went there and he talked to the owner and he came back to Prabhupada and he told Prabhupada, the man wanted too much money. We can't afford it. And also when I was there, there were so many drunks, there were so many drug addicts, so many derelict people in that neighborhood. And Prabhupada said, oh, he wanted too much money. Okay. And oh, there was drunks, derelicts, and drug addicts. Prabhupada said, when I was there a few years ago, it was also like that. But then, and now you have to pay attention if you're asleep, but then all of you came. There was also so many people like that, but then all of you came and became devotees. Which means who became devotees? All those people who were there in that environment. Now, how did Prabhupada pull it off? Because he spent time and effort not just preaching to them, but listening to them, taking care of them. Very few people like to be preached to. I don't know. Do you like to be preached to? You do. Very few people like to be preached to, honestly. Try it out at home. Try to preach to your wife. Have you ever tried preaching to your wife? Have you ever tried preaching to your husband? Does it work? Do you speak English? Do you understand what I'm talking about? There's great audience participation today.
Don't worry about the brahmacharis. They're all fasting, you know. They're all just waiting for 7 o'clock. So when I was in West Africa, in Ghana, we were out in some rural area where the devotees wanted to start a project, a farm project. So we went to the district magistrate. She was a lady in a military uniform. And we went in there and started talking with her, me and my friend, who is, you know, the Srivas Prabhu. You might have known. He comes here regularly. Tall, skinny African devotee. And we started being nice and just making casual conversation. And at some point, the lady said, "When are you finally going to preach to me? Did you just come to, like, you know, shoot the breeze and, like, talk about all that stuff? Or you actually have a message? What's your philosophy?" Because Ghana is a Christian country. If you fly there, more than half of the people on the plane were reading either Bible or Quran. So, but if you were going a little more west, which means where people are a little bit more westernized, a little bit more, you know what I mean, different, then people don't like to be preached to. People like to be appreciated. They like to be heard. They like to be involved in a conversation, in an interesting dialogue. I'm sitting here today because Srila Radhanath Swami listened to me. And he cared. It didn't start out with him preaching. It started out with him listening. At Govardhan, we just read Ramananda Roy, Ramananda Samvad. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is listening from his devotee. He's asking him questions and he's listening to him. Remember, he who asks the questions controls the conversation. It's not he who does most of the talking. What does the judge do? Does he do most of the talking? Nope. He asks questions and he listens. And at the end, there is a verdict. So, the more we become expert in the art of attentive listening and actually caring what the other person says. Have you ever talked with somebody or had a conversation and the other person was looking at their watch or they were looking at their phone? How does it feel? Feels great, right? How does it make you feel? Makes you feel like this conversation is over, you know, like it's time to move on. Have you ever seen two people at a cafe and both of them are on their phones? And you wonder, what are they doing there together? I mean, what's the point, right? They're all on their phone. Sometimes you see people on their phone while japa or while class. Or it's kind of confusing, right? So, we want to attain samadhi. We want to attain full absorption in Krishna. Well, what's holding us back? The weapons of mass distraction? Or our self-absorption, that we are too much concerned with our own little group. What's our own little group? I, me, and mine. Do you know these three people? I, me, and mine. That's our concern. That's our team. But that's a very small circle. If we want to actually experience relationships, rasa, then we ought to come out of our little world of I, me, and mine, and actually start paying attention and actually listening to people. And then what will happen is people's hearts will open up and they will say, "Hey, what can I do for you?" A friend of mine told me a little story which I'd like to share with you. He was a brahmachari in Argentina, first in Brazil, then in Argentina. And in the early 80s, his guru got sick. So he asked him to come to U.S. and serve him. So he's Argentinian. It's very difficult. But anyway, he went to the embassy. And in pant and shirt. And his visa got refused. Said, "We don't want you. We don't need another you know, immigrant. So the next day he went back to the embassy in Doti Kurta. And he demanded to speak to the ambassador, to the top person. So the lady came. She was middle-aged, quite young for such an important position. And she said, "Sir, what can I do for you?" And he said, "Yesterday I was here and one of your less intelligent bureaucrats refused my visa." Little did he know that I have to go to U.S. to serve my guru. In our tradition, serving the spiritual master is very important. What's the most important verse of all the Vedas? Come on, work with me, people. What's the most important verse of all the Vedas? If you only know one shloka, what is that shloka? What's a shloka that would... yasya deve para bhaktir yata deve tata guru tasyaite katita hyarta prakashante mahatmana. That if you please the guru, the mahatmas, the sages, then the zip file, all the cryptic code of Veda will unzip and manifest in your heart. Sounds pretty nice, right? Everything, boom, it just manifests. So, and the lady said, "Well, how do I know you're not going to stay in U.S.? Like all the others, you know? How do I know?" He said, "You know, we're missionaries. We go here, we go there. I just go there to serve him when he's well, when he's healthy. Then I will come back." She thought for some time. And then she said, "Okay, I'll give you the visa." And as she got up from the table, now you have to understand, it's her, it's him. There's other diplomats, there's police, because she's the top person in the country. As she got up, she leaned over and she said, "I read Prabhupada's Gita." Now you may wonder, why did she ask all these questions? What are you going to do there? Who are you? What are you all about? Why did she ask? Not out of formality. Because she wanted to make sure that he was who he said he was. So when people ask you all these questions, what is this, what is that, what is this, why you do that, it's not that they don't like you or that they mistrusting, or they just want to be convinced that you're actually the person that you proclaim to be. Had you ever to go for identity verification? Because people were interested to know that you are who you say you are. In a similar way, when we practice spiritual life, there is an identity check. If our outside and our inside is two different things, then it's no go. There's no match. So our practice of Krishna consciousness is to make sure that our outside and our inside are actually the same. Outside it looks very nice, but what's going on inside? What's in our mind? What's in our heart? That determines our meditation. That determines on our aspiration. So if we're not ready to listen to people, we're not interested in who they are, then there's very little chance for collaboration. Without Sambandha Gyan, there is no Abhideya. There is no interaction. And without Abhideya, there is no Prayojana. We want Prayojana, right? We want Krishna Prema. We want to go back home, back to Godhead. Is that still the doctrine? Is that still the goal? Is it? Yeah? Yeah, still. Okay, just checking. So, but it goes in stages. If we don't have time and we don't have interest and we don't have concern for Sambandha Gyan, there will be no Abhideya. There will be no Prayojana. That's why Krishna's Kaviraj Goswami puts in 7-8 chapters of just establishing the tattva, the Sambandha Gyan. Who is who? And what are their relationships? And then what is the process? And then he gets into the Leela. and into the Ras and into all that. So, I was in Miami, Florida, and one lady came out of a pharmacy and she was yelling into her phone. Have you ever seen people yell at their phone? It kind of looks weird, right? They yell at the phone. I mean, what has the phone done to deserve to be yelled at, right? So she was yelling at the phone and she was furious. She was fuming. And I had two choices, to ignore her or to approach her. So I approached her. And I asked her, are you mindful or are you mindless? Is your mind your best friend or your worst enemy? Huh? She was a little irritated. I said, you know, if controlling the mind is really the key to happiness. If you can't control the mind, then there's no real peace in life. I mean, that's what the Bhagavad Gita says, right? So, she said, you don't know how angry I am. I could scream at the whole world. I said, no, I understand. I get it, you know? Like, I believe you. Huh? And she said, I could just scream at everybody. But keep talking, it's working. She said, keep talking, it's working. So I just kept asking her questions and in hearing her out. And she calmed down. She cooled down. Huh? Then she took books. She contributed. And at the end I told her, most things in this world are beyond our control. We can't change them. But we have always a choice on how we react. We can always change our attitude. We can always change the way we reciprocate. And she started smiling. And she said, I actually get it. I actually get what you're talking about. Thank you for being here. So, if you want to have Krishna Prema, you want to have Goloka, you want to have loving, kind relationships with the Lord and His devotees, and be famous and successful and whatever it is that might be on your shopping list, you've got to start paying attention. Who is who, what's what. What are the relationships? And that means listening. That means actually listening to the other person. And then responding with kindness. So, these are a couple of observations on today's verse. It's very interesting to see how Yudhisthira and Arjuna are having this very intimate, very heartfelt, very real discussion about this crisis, about this real tragedy that's about to unfold. And they're talking about it to come to terms with it. Just like when Vidura asked about the disappearance of the Yadu dynasty, it was for psychological reasons. He already knew that they had all been killed, but he had to talk about it. Now, of course, ladies understand that when there's a problem, they talk about it. Men don't have problems, right? Men fix problems. Isn't that what engineers do? You solve problems. Am I right or am I right? Any engineers here? What do? You solve problems, right? You fix problems. I got news for you. People don't like to be fixed. You can ask your friend. You can ask your wife. Do you like to be fixed? Not many people like to be fixed. Huh? But they like to be appreciated. And that already solves the problem. Which is kind of mysterious, isn't it? Huh? So when we meditate on Krishna, when we appreciate Krishna, when we appreciate Krishna's devotees, our problems actually get solved. Huh? Yatradyante katam rishta strishnayo prashamo yatra nirvairam yatra bhuteshu nodvego yatra kaschana. Wherever and whenever the Bhagavatam is being discussed, Krishna's glories, his pastimes, his activities, then fear, anger, anxiety, material hankering, all that ceases to exist. That's pretty good, right? That's pretty good before breakfast. Huh? So if we daily hear the Bhagavatam, then all these things will be far away from our lives. Today is the last day of Bhishma Panchag. It's the day where Bhishma Dev went back. Bhishma Dev, who had fought on many battlefields, who was the greatest hero, the greatest fighter. No one, confirmed, no one could defeat him. He had the benediction that he would only die at will, when he would choose to die. And Krishna came to be there at the last moment. And Bhishma had arrows all throughout his body. Now when our little pinky gets, you know, hurt, we're quite disturbed. He had arrows through his body. But he was meditating on Krishna's beautiful lotus face and he was totally blissful. He was totally ecstatic because of Krishna's darshan and because the Pandavas were the kings. His goal had been achieved. What he worked for, what he meditated for, what he aspired for had been achieved. The Pandavas were ruling the world. And he was ecstatic because of that. That is empowerment. That is empowerment. That is sacrifice. We're here because of the prayers, the sacrifice, and the good wishes of our elders. That's the only reason why we're here. No other reason. So, the next time the kid makes noise, the next time the stranger wants to tell you their story, the next time the student is confused and wants to give you a piece of their mind, or maybe a few pieces of their mind, and it may be a little more than you expected. Has this ever happened to you? All the time, right? And you go like, whoa, 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 you know, like, hey, you know, back off. I got my bhajan, you know, I'm a monk. People don't care how much you know till they know that you actually care. Once they can feel you actually care, then their heart opens up and they're also ready to listen to a little bit of your pravachan, a little bit of your katha. But before that, no way. They're too busy. You heard of brain fog? People got mind fog. Fog. I know it's Mumbai. You don't know what fog is because you live next to the ocean. I just came from Delhi. You want to know what fog is? Go to Delhi. You figure out what fog is, you know? It's thick. Beijing, same thing. Moscow, same thing. You don't even see the sun sometimes in the winter for months. That's why people are so depressed. So, they're confused. But that confusion can only be alleviated by Krishna consciousness. Krishna Surya Sama Maya Haya Andhakara Yahan Krishna Tahan Maya Adhikara. When the Krishna sun comes up, all the fog becomes evaporated. It just vanishes. So if you would like people to have that experience, that clarity, that all of a sudden, wow, things start making sense. My life is starting to take perspective. I feel like I'm getting traction. I'm going somewhere. Then it necessitates that we befriend them, that we care for them, that we hear their story, that we feel their pain, that we're ready to take some of that pain. That's compassion. It's not a calendar quote. It's not a nice picture on your phone. It's not something to send around to friends. Compassion means community. What we have in common, together, passion, sharing the suffering. Being ready to share other people's suffering, like Vasudev Datta did. Mahaprabhu said, I am Vasudev Datta's man. He can sell me anywhere in the marketplace. I belong to him. Why? He has purchased me with his compassion. With his concern, with his kindness. I was at the University of Berkeley, California, distributing books, and I approached one young gentleman, and he said, you already talked to me yesterday. I said, how can I say you're wearing a mask, dude? So he pulled down his mask. That was back when people were still wearing those things, you know. So he pulled down the mask, and he had a beard, and he said, I'm a Muslim. but you are glowing. You are effulgent. I want what you have. I said, here, take it. It's not mine. Take it. He took the book. Now I know many of us may not like to hear this, but some of the very close associates of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they were from a different culture. Namacharya Haridas Thakur Kijai. Rupan Sanatan, Sakar Malik, Dabir Kas, they were from a different culture. So, are we ready to engage? Are we ready to interact with all types of people? Or only with my kind of people? So, if we don't have Vidyavinaya Sampane, if we don't have Samadarshina, we're not even Kanishtha Adhikaris. We're not even beginners. We have not reached that stage yet. If we still think, I, me, and mine, and fear mode. There's a lot of enemies out there. They're all out to get me. They all want me bad. So that means we actually have to enter into these teachings and apply them. And that only happens if we have that samvad, if we have that tushyanticha ramanticha, if we have that trust that we can get together and discuss scripture honestly, heart to heart. Not just as a formality, not just as a chore, not just as a function, but as an actual sacrament, as an actual spiritual practice. That's why Prabhupada wrote these books. That's why he instituted having class. So we could discuss these topics. Now you may say, oh, you say you should glorify Krishna, but you talk about all these other things, you know, giving out books and talking to people and this and that. And Tadiyanam, that is related to Krishna, bringing people to Krishna. If you're the pujari and some guest walks in the door, you can get off the altar and talk to the guest. You can stop your arti and go and take care of the guest. Do you know that? When you're at home, you're doing your worship, somebody rings the bell, you can continue doing and just ignore, or you can go and see who Krishna has sent to your door. Why? Because it's Krishna's guest. So we're all very fortunate to be here today because of the prayers, the sacrifices, and the good wishes of our elders. And it is our fortune, our privilege, and our great gift that we have received. And as a token of appreciation, let us accept this gift wholeheartedly. Let us share it amongst ourselves and amongst whoever we may meet in our life. But before people are ready to accept the gift, they want to know, who are you? Why are you giving me something? In many countries, if you give people free stuff, they think it's very strange. They become very, very irritated or very skeptical. In some places, people like free gift. You can open a truck and give out free stuff. In other places, that does not work. That's why Srila Prabhupada said in Chaitanya Charitamrita, what works in one place may not work in another place. So you have to know your audience. You have to know your situation. So I know you did a lot of austerities, a lot of fasting, a lot of hard work, and it's not been an easy time. It's been a fairly difficult time. But the reward of these austerities, of these sacrifices, is Krishna's benevolent glance. Gopinath is glancing at everybody. And his glance is so sweet, and it is so loving, and it is so kind, that it will easily make us forget all the difficulties, all the hardship, all the struggle that we may have gone through. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, the difficulties that arise in the performance of my devotional service are my ecstasy. Are you feeling enough ecstasy in your life? Are you feeling enough Krishna anxiety? Or you prefer less anxiety? Now, in any relationship, there's a give and take. And Krishna, he is somewhat of a tricky person. So he knows how to draw out the love. He knows how to turn on the heat, to put in the masala, the spice, to create some tension. So, who are we to complain that there is a little bit of hardship, a little bit of difficulty? Now is the best time ever to share Krishna consciousness. You can go up to anybody on the planet and ask, how are you doing? How is things? Any problem? They say, problem? Oh yeah, problem. Lot of problem. Lot of problem. Ooh, too much problem. Huh? Yes, too much problem. Then you say, oh really? Okay. All right. Yeah, I feel it. Tension, huh? Tension. Oh yeah, tension. Yes. Huh? So then they're willing to hear. Because why? Because you care. Because you pay attention to their person, to their situation. If you don't care, people will say, yeah, okay, take the money, and I keep driving. I was up in Rishikesh a few weeks ago, and just doing kirtans and distributing books in the town. And I also visited the kirtan program that the devotees put up there. And after the program, I hopped on a motorbike, and it was one boy who was at the kirtan program. So I told him, you know, we also have a temple here, and we also do programs. And he said, I went there once. I said, and he said, but I like this kirtan program better. I said, why? He said, because the people actually know why they're going to the program. At the temple, people just go because it's what grandma used to do, you know. It's just our party line. We just have to follow it and do it. But here, people who come here, they know why they're going and they actually want to be here. He said, I want to be with those people. I'm not saying this is right or this is wrong. What I'm saying is you find out who are your people and you work with those people and you make something beautiful happen. Hmm? Last few days I spent with my old friends, Damodar Dulal, SKC Prabhu, my friends at Bhaktirana Hospital. Why? Because they actually listen. Because they actually care. I have some god brothers who are very famous, who are very wealthy, who are very accomplished, who are very smart, who are very scholarly, very austere. I can go on for a very long time. But I like to hang out with those people who care about me and who don't just want to download their whatever is storming in their brain, whatever, you know, greatness that they'd like to tell me about. But we want to be with people we can have an actual discussion. So we got about 10 minutes for an actual discussion. Sorry for the monologue, if this has been a little more than you asked for. Anyway, it's been 3 years, so I guess you'll get over it. Questions, comments, discussion. Anybody? Yes, go ahead. We have a mic.
I have two questions. May I ask them one by one?
Yes, please.
Or simultaneously, you want me to ask simultaneously?
No, one by one is easier for me.
Okay. Okay, Prabhuji. So my first question is that when about Bhishmacharya, he saw Krishna after the war, and whatever he wanted, it was achieved. But Bhishma himself took the vow that whoever will become a king, who becomes the king, it is not important. But whoever will become a king, I will serve him. And at the same time, he wanted Pandavas to become a king.
Yes, thank you. There is always the external and the internal. And the internal is always the prominent and the external is always the subservient. As a Kshatriya, he has to be neutral. As a administrator, he has to serve whoever is in charge, whether it be Yudhisthira or Duryodhana. That is part of Kshatriya Dharma, that whoever is the emperor, I have to serve that person. Is that clear? And his personal desire, his personal wish, that is his wish. For him, that is very important. But the two are not conflicting because he could reconcile his professional life, his duty as a kshatriya, and his personal desire and his personal aspiration. And of course, there is, you can say, a tension there because they seem to be contradictory, conflicting. Huh? Yet he acted in a way to reconcile them. And we see that, how he did that. That's why he is Mahajanayena Gataksapanta. That's why Bhishma Dev is one of the Mahajans. Second question?
In modern material life, arrival of any guest is an unwanted phenomenon. Especially during COVID, people don't want the guest because will be infected. That is the apprehension. But you said that guest is sent by Krishna.
Yes, again, we're talking principle and detail. So the principle of hospitality, the principle of receiving guests is there. And that is a Vedic principle that cannot be stopped. Now, if you are not in a situation to receive guests for whatever reason, that's a possibility. And one of them could be that you're sick or you're incapable. Then you can just apologize. You can feel regret. You can always offer kind words. You can always ask Krishna for forgiveness if we're not able to adequately reciprocate with the expectations that are put upon us. So there's different things that we can do, even if we cannot fully satisfy all the people that have certain desires or aspirations. Is that okay?
Thank you.
You've been very kind. Other questions or comments? Yes.
Prabhu, I have something to add on to the first question, what he said. But does not the internal and the external, does that not conflict the preachings of right now what you said, that, you know, our internal and external should match?
No, those are analogies, you know. So you can't take one analogy and then duplicate it in any other analogy. Otherwise, it doesn't fit, you know. And an analogy is there to illustrate a certain point. If you take that example with internal and external, okay, I can give you a different example. You have your official and you have your unofficial. Like in Chaitanya Charitamrita, excuse me, it's explained about the Lord's external and internal reasons for appearance. And they're quite different, but they're not mutually exclusive. They can be combined. Krishna knows how to balance. But we sometimes become confused. What is our real need, our real purpose? And then we get either swayed this way or that way. Just like when Krishna told Arjuna in the situation with Ashwatthama that, you know what you're going to do? There's Draupadi. There's Bhimasen. And you got to do, how are you going to do that? And Arjuna did the right thing because Krishna gave him the intelligence. Prabhupada, in the last paragraph of the Tesham Satayuktanam Bhajatam Pratipurvakam 10:10, he says that you may be in a spiritual organization. You may even have a guru following a spiritual path. Does this relate to any one of you? You all have a spiritual path. You have a guru. You're doing it. But you may still not know what to do. Has this situation ever happened to you? That you were confused? Internal, external? What should I do? Should I not? Should I take the new job? Should I not take it? Do I like it? Do I not like it? Then what to do? Then he says something very beautiful. If we're serious and sincere, without ulterior motive, and we serve with love, then Krishna in our heart will give us the intelligence to do the right thing. And it's also good to have friends, mentors, and guides, to have that
network of people who will give you the honest opinion. Not just what's good for their project, not just what looks good externally, but they really want you to succeed. They want you to flourish. And they're not afraid to tell you what we may not like to hear sometimes, but what we have to hear. That's what we're here for. Satsang. It means truthful association. It's not a show. It's not a stage performance. We're not just coming here to look at some nice dresses and some nice pictures and some nice music, and then we go home and we think like, wow, what a great life. And then we go back into our misery. I ask people, are you a scroller or are you a reader? You can ask yourself that. Am I a scroller or am I a reader? Do I actually enter into my practice? Or am I just glossing over things? Then our impact, our taste will be minimal at best. So, dharmasya tattvam nihitam guhayam mahajanayena gataksapanta. The true nature of dharma is in the heart, hidden in the heart of the sages. We need to associate with the sages, not just in the books, but also in real life. Otherwise, by tarko pratishta shrutayo vibhinna, by argument, by debate, by trying to impress others, we'll not get it. We'll not enter into the secrets. The secret will come. And the sages, they will tell us. But first they will listen to us. Like Krishna listened to Arjuna. And he let him do the talking and he vented and he, you know, showed his whole confusion. And then Krishna gave him the different options, and he also told him what he would like him to do, but he left it up to him, how he's going to make his choices. So today is Purnima, last day of Bhishma Panchak. It's a good day to take Sankalpa, and the year is almost over. Prepare ourselves, okay? Am I getting closer to my goals? Am I fulfilling the objective of the human form of life? Or am I just scrolling through life? So we're very fortunate we have this Sangha. We have this process. We have the guidance of Srila Prabhupada and the devotees. So thank you for being here. Thank you for being who you are and doing what you do. Even though I don't know most of you. But I'm able to see and feel there's a lot of love. There's a lot of dedication. There's a lot of care. And that's why you can share it all around the world. And you're sending out not just ambassadors, but a lot of good will and a lot of good example to others. You see, culture is not established by legislation. Culture is established by proper role models, by grandmothers, by elders, by people who are willing to listen and who believe that Krishna's process works. Let the kids play. Let them have some fun. And then we'll also tell them a few things when they're ready to hear. So you're very fortunate. You're very blessed. You have this Sangha. Let us embrace it and let us share it with others. And in this way, we know that Gopinath will be pleased because more devotees are coming to his lotus feet. And when Gopinath is pleased, when he showers his benevolent glance, then our life has found perfection. Thank you very much. Granthraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Shishi Radha Gopinath Lalita Visakha ki, Nitai Gaur Premanandi, Hari Haribo, Vanchakalpa Drubhyascha, Kripasandhubyevacha, Patitanam Pavanebhyo, Vaishnavebhyo, Namo Namaha.